Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Welcome to Lesson 14, which I have titled Jesus' Practical Lesson on Servanthood and Two Prophetic Predictions. We are continuing on our journey of the exposition of the Gospel of John. In our previous lesson, we looked at Mary and how she sacrificed to worship Jesus, taking an expensive perfume, pouring it out on the feet of Jesus and wiping the feet of Jesus with her own hair. And we saw the power of sacrificial worship and how it made room for her, and that Jesus said she would be remembered wherever the gospel is preached. And at this time, Jesus has come back into Bethany just before Passover and is having a supper together with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who was resurrected from the dead. And the Jews and the Pharisees are very much cross and agitated, and they plan to kill Lazarus, the testimony that has been resurrected from the dead. It is in this background that we come to lesson 14, and I'm going to do an overview of chapter 13 of the Gospel of John. Then I'll look at the key revelation that we find in this chapter, which is John chapter 13, verse 14 to 16. I will conclude by looking at five lessons that we get out of this chapter, and I believe they will empower you and equip you. Get your notebook, get your Bible. Let us get into the Word of God. Now, it is now close to Passover as we begin chapter 13. Looking at verse 1 to 17, we see there the lesson on servanthood. So just before the feast, Jesus, the feast of Passover, Jesus gathered with his disciples and he begins to tell them that he is about to depart and leave to go to the Father. And while they were having supper there, it says in verse 2, the devil had already put in the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things, had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. So Jesus had an understanding that everything belonged to him. He had been sent by God. So he then rose up during the supper, laid aside his garments and took a towel, and he put water in a bowl and began to wash the feet of the disciples and wipe them with the towel he was tying around his waist. Now, this was quite a surprise to the disciples, and you see that in the background of where Mary had done almost a similar thing to Jesus. She had poured her perfume, her alabaster box, and wiped the feet of Jesus with her own hair. Now, we see here the Master, the Lord, the King, he takes off his outer garment, which is sort of a robe, takes a towel, ties it around his waist, and takes a bowl of water and begins to wash the feet of his disciples. In verse number 6, then he cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, thou wash my feet. Do you want to wash my feet? He's asking. In verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know after, saying, what I'm doing you will not understand, but after you understand. But Peter, in his zeal, says, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, if I wash not your feet, you have no part with me. Then suddenly Peter changes and says, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. What a shock. Jesus said, you have already bathed, so you don't really need to wash all other areas. I just need to wash your feet. because you are already clean. Out of this, then Jesus said, not all of you are clean. For he knew already that Judas was going to betray him. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he sat down again and said, know you what I have done? You call me Master and Lord, and well so I am. If then I am your Lord and Master, and have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Hallelujah. So you see here Jesus leading by example, showing what it means to be a servant leader. Servanthood, where you lead by serving. You lead by ministering to those that you are leading and those that are following you. And he practically washed his disciples' feet. And you should remember that during these times, these were dusty streets, and they would wear sandals. So when someone entered into a house after traveling, his feet would be very dirt. And it was usually the responsibility of the least of the servants in a house to wash the visitor's feet. So the servant who was least among the servants was the one with the responsibility to do this. Now Jesus, being the King of Kings, lowers himself to the place of the least of servants and washes the disciples' feet. And he tells them that I've shown you an example. Hallelujah. And what an example it is. Yes, that he shows. We'll come back to this scripture. And in verse 18, he says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it is come, when it is come to pass, you may believe. So now we are seeing from verse 18 to verse 30, Jesus begins to prophesy about his betrayal and the one that is going to betray him. And he says that the scriptures may be fulfilled, that one that I ate with is going to strike me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, in verse 20, he that receiveth whomsoever I sent receiveth me, but he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And in verse 21, when Jesus had said this, he was troubled in his spirit, and he began then to disclose that among you, he says, there verily I say to you, that one of you shall betray me. So Christ is troubled in his spirit, and he then says, one among you is going to betray me. The disciples began to ask among each other, and doubting, who is it going to be? And there was one that was leaning on Jesus' bosom or on his chest, the disciple whom Jesus loved, says in verse 23. Then Simon Peter motioned to him, and that was John, and asked him, he should ask who it is. And verse 25 says, he then lying on Jesus' breasts or chest said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I give this bread when I dip it. And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Verse 27, after he had eaten, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do it quickly. Now John is resting his head on the chest of Jesus. He's so close, the disciple that Jesus loves. What a blessing. And Peter knows it, so he beckons to him and says, can you ask who it is? And Jesus tells him, the one I'm going to give this bread after I dip it, he is the one. Now, not everyone hears what he says, but John hears it and he records it here. And when he had given Judas Judas ate, and when he had ate, the Bible says Satan entered into him. Hey, not a demon, not an evil spirit, but Satan himself came into Judas to ensure he could enforce his plan to take Jesus to the cross. And Jesus is prophesying, and one of the shocking things is, even during this time, Judas' heart is not repentant, he is not convicted. Jesus is saying plainly, one of you will betray me. So that means Jesus already knew, but at such a time as this, Satan enters into the heart of Judas, and he actually goes ahead with his plan even after it was revealed by prophecy. And Jesus says to him, go and do it quickly. And the other disciples thought that Jesus was telling him to go and buy something. Since he was a treasurer, they thought he was buying some provisions for the Passover. Yet it was Jesus saying, go and do your betrayal and do it very fast. For already Jesus knew that the scriptures had to be fulfilled. The Bible says the evil in this world is to come, but woe to him that it comes through. So there was someone who was going to betray Jesus, but woe to him that was going to be the one. And it was Judas who took up that, and Satan entered into him. Oh, mercy. May you never come to the place where you are possessed by the devil and influenced to betray Christ or betray the servants of God. May God deliver you from such a spirit in Jesus' name. So we see there Jesus giving a prophecy of Judas' betrayal. Then from verse 31, we see another prophecy now which goes to Peter about his denial of Jesus. But before that, Jesus begins to teach on love. He says in verse 31, therefore, when he is gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man glorified is glorified, the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. Now you see here that Jesus begins to speak to the disciples after Judas had left. So it shows here that there is a revelation that Judas did not hear, that was left for the 11 or only, because he already was under the influence of the devil and he was on his way to betray Christ. So when he is gone, Jesus begins to release revelation, and he begins to speak that I'm about to be glorified and the Father will be glorified in me. And he says in verse 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Hallelujah. And this is a commandment that Jesus is giving to the disciples, giving to the church. Now we know that when Moses went out Mount Sinai, he was given 10 commandments. And those 10 commandments were the key commandments for the nation of Israel. But Jesus comes introducing the New Testament, and he says, a new commandment I give you. And this is the commandment of all commandments, because it sums the commandments and the law and the prophets. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. So we are instructed and we are commanded to love one another. Verse 35 then says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So the mark of our discipleship is the love we have for one another. It is very important that the church walks in love, that believers walk in love. The only way we are defeated and divided is when we don't walk in love. When we walk in love, it is a testimony of that, of the presence of God, and that Christ is with us. So love manifests the presence of God. He says, and the world will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Then Simon Peter says in verse 36, unto the Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you shall follow me afterwards. And then Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered, will you surely lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, before the cock crows, till thou hast denied me three times. So this in King James is meaning that before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And Jesus is prophesying and predicting that Peter is going to deny him three times. Hey, and he tells him directly. And then in the Gospel of Luke, you find there that Jesus then says, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and that after you return, you strengthen your brothers. So unlike Judas, who betrays Christ and never repents, Peter had an opportunity to repent and turn back and strengthen others. But you see here, Peter was so zealous. He's saying, I will lay down my life for you. But you see in later verses that when he was threatened and told, you are one of them, all that he had said before that, I'm ready to die, he was no longer ready for that. The zeal was speaking, but he did not have understanding. And Jesus tells him, are you surely, surely going to lay your life down for me? Because you will deny me three times before the cock crows. Mercy. Now, what is the key revelation and the key scripture that we find in this portion, in this chapter 13 of the Gospel of John? Now, the key revelation, we see it in verse number 25 to 26. He says there, in verse 14 and verse 16. Now that I am your Lord and teacher, and I've washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done. Verily, truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. So Jesus is saying, I am your Lord, I am your master, I have washed your feet, and I have led by example. Go and do the same. Go and lead as a servant. In the kingdom, we go up by going down. Greatness comes through serving. That's the kingdom principle. It's unlike the world. And Jesus is teaching it to his disciples. If you want to be great, you must be a servant. You must serve. You must minister to people. You must help people. You must go down. To wash someone's feet, you have to kneel. You have to go down. You can't wash someone's feet while you are standing. It means you need to humble yourself. You need to lower yourself. Ministry, Christianity requires humility. Leadership in Christianity requires humility. You can't lead and do great things in the kingdom without the spirit of humility if you are not willing to be a servant leader. And Jesus has shown us the example. He practically washed the feet of his disciples. Leadership is practical. You have to practically humble yourself and reach out to people no matter how low and no matter how down they are. Jesus says, the master, the servant is not greater than the master, nor the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. We can't be greater than Jesus, who washed the feet of the disciples. He is our Lord. He is the one who sent us. So if we are his followers, we are to follow his example and do the same to our fellow brethren, to those that are in need, so that we may minister the love of God unto them. Hallelujah. I want to conclude now by looking at five lessons that we draw from this chapter. Lesson number one, do not make emotional decisions, but be led by the Spirit of God. You see that one of the challenges of Peter was he was very emotional and he made emotional decisions. When Jesus says he's washing the feet of the disciples, he comes to Peter and Peter says, no, you can't do that. He was very emotional. He wanted to look humble, but he was missing the spiritual lesson. He was not led of the Spirit. And it's very dangerous when we make emotional decisions. You can miss God when you are emotional, when you don't hear the voice of God, when you don't receive direction from the Holy Spirit. Later, he was now saying, wash my hands, wash my head, because Jesus had said, if you don't get washed, then you have nothing to do with me. So we need to be led by the Holy Spirit when we make decisions. Lesson number two, greatness comes from a life of serving others. If you want to be great, look at how you can minister and serve other people. The more people you serve, the more greatness is bestowed upon you in the name of Jesus. So it takes the life of serving to become great. Lesson three, true leadership is servanthood and leading by example. You can't lead people where you have not been. So you have to lead by example. Jesus did not say, come Peter, come James, begin to wash each other's feet, or wash my feet. I want to teach you how you should wash other people's feet. No, he went and led by example. He did it practically. You have to lead by example. That is the only way people can follow your example. That's true ministry. Hallelujah. Lesson number five, resist demonic influences of disloyalty and betrayal. You see that in life, in the journey of faith, the enemy is always trying to bring division in the kingdom. And a kingdom divided against itself will not prosper. And is always looking for someone to influence, to use to bring havoc, to use to bring confusion, and use you as a vessel of disloyalty and betrayal. And may you resist such influences. Because woe to him that is used in that case. Because in the end, it is your life that is destroyed. And Judas' life ended with suicide. You see all those that rose up in betrayal and in disloyalty, their ending was never good. You look at Absalom, his ending was not good. You look at many betrayers and disloyal people, their ending was not good. They ended up being executed, or they ended up in suicide. So resist any demonic influence that wants you to become a disloyal or a betrayer. Lesson number five, our commitment and faith will be tested. In the journey of Christianity, your faith will be tested. It is one thing to say, I believe. It is one thing to say, I am committed. It's another thing to prove your commitment. Peter says, I'm willing to die for you. But that statement was tested, and three times he denied Jesus. But thankfully, from that experience, he became a great apostle later when the Holy Spirit came upon him. But I want you to know, your faith will be tested. The Bible says the testing of our faith produces patience, and when patience has worked its work, it causes us to become perfect. So we face trials and tribulations that test our faith, our belief, what we have declared, and it is through that testing that we come out with patience, and that patience leads to our reward. So know that you will be tested, and may God give you the grace to overcome and prevail and to pass the test. In Jesus' mighty name, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom from the scriptures on leadership, servant leadership. Father, we pray and I ask that you fill us with the spirit of humility, that we may be humble, we may have a heart to serve, a heart to minister to others, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for the grace and the strength to resist the devil. As your word says, resist the devil and you flee from you. We resist the spirit of disloyalty. We resist the spirit of betrayal in the name of Jesus. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you give us the grace to be able to prevail in any test, in tribulation, in trials, that God, we may come out with a testimony in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Stay blessed.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev. I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.